Okay, today's daf is daf Samach. We're actually going to get to start Perek Ezu Neshech, which will take us for the next 2 weeks. Yeah, everybody be excited. Going to be complicated stuff. Okay, anyway, we're going to start off with the end of Perek HaZahav. We're going to finish very briefly with the Ona'at Dvarim, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah. Tanurosh Elachnai, the whole story. What is the Ona'at there?
It's not, what's the Ona'at Dvarim?
Yeah.
So it seems to be, right, it's a bit of a tricky thing. What was the Ona'at here? It seems to be that they excommunicated him, and basically it wasn't exactly Ona'at in the sense that they, it's not even in words, it was Malbim Pnei Chavero. He was humiliated in front of all the other rabbis. That's what it was. It was the excommunication. It was the fact that they totally excommunicated this huge Talmid Chacham, and they, you know, embarrassed him in front of everybody. It goes to all those gemaras about the Malbim Pnei Chavira, which is an extension of Ona'at Dvarim. Okay? You're welcome. Okay, and then, you know, I referenced, even though it doesn't say this explicitly, that he also wasn't exactly, you know, he used his words also to damage. Right? And it's by praying, he caused the downfall of Rabban Gamliel. And Aviva asked me after class, well, what should each, you know, what should they have done, really? In other words, he obviously, you have to remember also, I didn't get into this, but what he did was kind of like a Zakeh Mamre, who's supposed to die according to the halacha. Because what did he do? He went against what the rabbis, the majority opinion, and he was teaching against it, right? So, in a sense, they were really right for doing the excommunication, and they even tried to do it in such a way that wouldn't totally embarrass him, but in the end, there's nothing to do. He was embarrassed by it. As much as they tried, and Rabbi Akiva tried to go around, do it in a way that wasn't as humiliating. It was humiliating for him. And because of that, so it's not clear here that they were wrong once what happened happened. The question is, could they have avoided the situation from the beginning and figured out a way to have worked it out together and not ended up fighting about the whole thing?
It's interesting.
And I think it, again, it references this line about Rabbi Yeshua saying to the walls. Im talmidei chachamim minatzchim zeh zeh bahalacha atem mativchem. It's our problem, not your problem. And I think what it's really getting at is there was a problem in the Beit Midrash in general, the way people treated each other. So it's not like anyone was more, you know, everyone could have done something better and the situation could have been avoided in the first place, but it wasn't, and all sorts of bad things happen in all directions as a result of it. What did you want to add?
It's interesting that such a powerful story comes in and has such an impression on us, but doesn't actually illustrate the point it's making terribly well. That is not entirely clear.
You're saying it's not so clear who the Ona'at is.
If you want to tell a story,
well, it's clear in the sense of he was humiliated, but it's right.
A situation where it's not clear. Quite who could and how could they have done it differently?
Which means that it ruled in his favor. No,
they ruled against him. Right, because he had the bat kol on his side, and they said lo b'shamayim, the rabbis went out.
Right.
Right, that doesn't matter.
That story illustrates other things better than the point for which it's brought.
Right. Except, right, well, first of all, the story is mainly used to illustrate the major point that it has nothing to do with our sugya.
Exactly.
Which often happens in these stories. That's why it's interesting when you learn Daf Yomi and you learn it in the context, or if we would have learned just this parak and you learn it in the context of the parak, as opposed to when people pull out a sugya and teach it, or pull out a story and teach it without the context. It's, and not to say that the story doesn't have meaning, you know, in that sense also. It clearly does, and I've taught it many times before outside the context, but it's nice to see it in the context, see the whole story. Okay, you have a lot to do, so let's go on. Okay, we're starting with Tanu Rabbanan, seven lines from the bottom of Nun Tet Amud Bet. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamaneh Tagir Ovir B'Shlosha Lavim, V'Halochatso Ovir B'Shnayim. If you mistreat the ger in words, then you're over on Shlosha Lavim. And if you're Lochatso, right, what exactly does it mean, right? Dochako, if you push him off, you, what's the, how do they translate it exactly?
Oppress him? Repay a debt?
Okay. You're over b'shnayim. So then they say, "Ma'ishna ma'aneh d'chtive shlosha alavim v'ger lo toneh v'chi agorit chager b'artzchem lo tonu oto v'lo tonu ishet amito." So they say, here we could see the three of the Ona'at. But there's three psukim we quote, and ger bichlal amitohu, right? Because lotonu ishat amitohu should include the ger also. But if you're going to say that, because you know, where do we get three lavim? Because it appears in three psukim, the ger, right? Two explicitly and one amito, which would include the ger. But lochatzo nanish lo shaktive. You said lochatzo is only two, and I could show you three psukim with lochatzo. Velo tochatzenu, veger lo tochat, velo tielo kinoshe. Okay, that's going to connect with our neshech about, you know, right? Lo tielo kinoshe also deals with, I think, rebeat. Right, don't, we'll translate that for you.
For debtor as a creditor.
What?
You should not be to him, i.e. the poor debtor, as a creditor.
Right, if he doesn't have money to pay you back, you shouldn't push him to pay you back. That's what it means. You shouldn't force him to pay you the money if he doesn't have it. Sorry, it's not rebeat. The ger bichlalhu, right? And the ger is included in that. So therefore, the til chatzenu, okay, which means force him to pay you back the money, also appears three times. So what do they say? Echad zeh v'echad zeh b'shlosha. You're right, it was a mistake. They're both, you're over on three lavim. And then Tanya Rabbi Elezer, Agadol Omer, Mepnei Mayis Hira Torah b'shloshim v'shisha mekomot, v'amre labar v'im v'shisha mekomot b'ger. Why is it mentioned? Okay, this is a machloke. It's a little strange, right? Whether it's mentioned 36 times or 46 times, okay, about a ger in the Torah, right? That's a lot of mentions. Mipnei shesuro ra. Okay, why is that? Because his inclinations are to go the wrong way, and therefore we're worried people will take advantage of him. My dechtiv v'ger lo toneh v'lo tochatzenu ki geirim hayitem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why does it say that? Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, mum shebacha al tomar lechaverecha. Right, this is classic. Something that you have, right? People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Behind udamre inche dezakef lezakifa b'diukte. This is an interesting one. Okay, this is taking a little bit farther than you would think. If somebody in his family was hung, okay, you shouldn't lo nema le lechavre zakif benita. You shouldn't say go please hang the fish, because you're going to mention the hang, and it's going to make him think of his dead relative that was hung. Okay, so interesting is ending off on this, which seems quite strange, but I think what they're saying really, the bottom line of this sugya is, you have to be so careful with your words that you don't even realize sometimes that just by mentioning something that references, because how do we work in our minds? We associate everything with everything, right? So as soon as somebody mentions something, it causes you associations and to think of other things. If it's going to upset a person, you have to be very careful what you say, right? How many times is it that we know there's people who are sensitive about certain things and you should try not to bring up certain topics in certain situations? And what this is saying is, even if you don't know, you know, you should really be extra, extra careful to try not to mention something that might bother someone. Okay, now we're going to get into, the parak is going to end with a bunch of things about business relations in terms of people selling things and what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Aim arvim peirot bepeirot. If you say you're going to sell certain stuff from your field to somebody from this field, you can't mix peirot from a different field. Okay, if you committed to him this field, then only this field, even if they're the same quality. Because you promised someone something, you have to give what you promised and not what you didn't. Ve'ein sarich lomar chadashim b'yishanim. Afilu chadashim b'chadashim. And that's even new fruits with new fruits. Ve'ein sarich lomar chadashim b'yishanim. Okay, this means that you committed to sell him old stuff. Now, old stuff is considered better because it's already dried out and it can stay longer. Okay, they're already dried. And so therefore, if you say you're going to give him yeshanim, you can't mix in new ones, which are not as good. We're going to see in the Gemara a little bit more about this situation. Be'emet amru, we'll also see in the Gemara what this means, be'emet amru. If you have wine that's rach, that's not as strong, and that's what you commit to give someone, and you add in kasheh, something that's more harif, then you're allowed to mix it, because the stronger wine will obviously make, or I don't know, obviously, but that's what they're saying, will make the weaker wine better. Okay, and therefore you're allowed to do it if it makes it better. So we said if it's equal, no. If it's worse, obviously no. But if it makes it better, you're allowed to. Eim arvim shimrei yayin b'yayin. If you're selling the wine and you commit to sell the wine without the shmarim, you can't add the shmarim, the fermentation stuff in, the what do you call them? The sediment in. Aval noten lo et shmarav. Okay, this doesn't make so much sense what this means. The Gemara is going to have one interpretation that seems a little bit against the pshat. It sounds like maybe you can give him the shmarim if you worked it out that you were going to give him the shmarim, but we'll see. Mishinitarev mayim b'yeno. If you mix water into your wine, now you remember people did that. They diluted. It was the wine was, what? Right, they had to dilute it. Okay, but generally when you bought it, it was the concentrate. Okay, you didn't buy it diluted. So mishinitarev mayim b'yeno lo yim kirenu b'chanut ela em ken hodio. Unless you tell him what you're buying is diluted wine. V'lo l'tzagar afal pisha hodio. You can't sell it to the merchant, even if you tell him. Why? She'eno ela l'ramot bo, because we're worried that you might tell him that it's diluted, but he might not tell. Now, this is interesting. It shows that you can't even sell to someone, even if you're not cheating anyone, because you told him it was diluted, but if there's a chance that he might cheat someone else, you're giving him something that he could use for cheating someone else. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that. Makom shenagula atil mayim b'yayin yatzilu. If it was a place, though, that they generally sell the wine diluted, you can. Hatagar notel mechamesh granot v'noten l'toch megura achat. The merchant is allowed to take stuff from five different warehouses, meaning that, you know, the quality might differ a little bit. Why? Because the assumption is that everybody knows that that's what he does. The merchants gather merchandise from all different places. Mechamesh gitot v'noten l'toch pitom. Right? He could take it from five different gitot, the wine, and put it in one, I forget how they try it, in a barrel, I think. It's in one barrel of wine. Ubilvad shelo yehem mitkaven la'arev. As long as he's not trying to mess up, in other words, he's not trying to take different qualities and putting them together, as long as you have things that are of equal quality and it'll still remain at the same level, he's allowed to do that. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein tzarich lomar, so now we're back to the chadashot v'yishanot. So what did we say? Ein tzarich lomar chadashim v'yishanim, meaning that if you ordered yishanim, you said you were paying for yishanim, you can't mix chadashim, because they're not dried out yet. Ein tzarich lomar chadashot me'arba v'yishanot mishalosh, de'ein marvin. They don't even need to tell you the case that if the chadashot were worth four to a sela, let's say, and the yishanot are three se'ah to a sela, okay, the meaning that the yishanot are more valuable, that obviously de'ein marvin, right? That's obvious. You're mixing things that are higher priced with things that are lower priced, or you're getting less for your money because for the same, right, you're getting less of value. But ela afilu chadashot mishalosh, even if for some reason the chadashot are worth more, now why would the chadashot be worth more? We just said that people want the yishanot. But the chadashot, in a sense, have a longer shelf life because you can leave them, let them dry out, get old, and then store them. So if you wanted something for the long term, you would buy the chadashot. So it could be that the chadashot are worth more. So ela chadashot mishalosh v'yishanot me'arba, even if the yishanot are worth less money, and you ordered yishanot, okay, so in a sense you'd be winning out if you were getting eim arvim, mipnei she'adam rotzeh liyashnan. You still can't mix them because the person will want to dry them out. In other words, he'll, the chadashot are worth more. One second, because according to this, right, he's selling them as if they're yishanot, and then he's really. One second. Right. Because in the end, the yeshanot are better. It's just that the person who would buy chadashot would rather have chadashot because they last longer, but they're not actually better quality. So in the end, the person who wanted yeshanot wants the quality of the yeshanot, and he doesn't want the chadashot. So even if you're selling him something that maybe for some people is worth more because they might want a liyashnan, but that it's only because people want a liyashnan that they're worth more, but inherently the yeshanot are better, so therefore you can't mix them. Be'emet amru b'yayin hitiru l'arev kasheh b'rach mipnei shehu mashbicho. Amar Rabbi Elazar Ada, Amar Rabbi Elazar, sorry. Ada amra ko be'emet amru halachahi. When they say be'emet, what does it mean? It means the halacha is like this. Okay, so what was the line they said be'emet? The b'yayin, they were matir, l'arev kasheh b'rach, because it makes the rach better. Amar Rav Nachman, u'bein hagitot shanu. The only time you can mix it is when you're still out in the gut, when you're trampling on the grapes. At that stage, it's better for the wine. If you start mixing different quality wines at a later stage, that's not good for it. V'ha'idna dekama arve shelo ben hagitot. So now they say, well, what about nowadays? People mix the kasheh berach even not in the gitot. How do they do that? So in other words, what you see here is, right, they said the halacha is only ben hagitot, but people aren't doing that. So Amar Papa, diyadeh v'kamachle. Nowadays, the people do it, everybody knows they do it, and they're mochel, and they know they say it's okay. Maybe they're not such wine buckies that they care particularly about exactly how it is, and they don't mind if you mix things. Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ikamar, Hamane, Rabbi Achahi. He says, who is this according to? This is according to Rabbi Acha, Detanya, Rabbi Acha Matir, B'davar Hanit'am. Okay, this is interesting. This is like when you go to the shuk and they have things out and you can taste them. Okay? So Rabbi Acha was modeh that when they give you a taste of something, then they're allowed to mix because they know what you're getting. But if they don't allow you to taste it, then you can't mix it unless it's ben agitot. In other words, the fact that people mix it nowadays is because they have wine tastings before you buy them and people are, taste it. And then they know what they're buying. Ve'em marvim, okay, that's where we're going to get into returning items and things like that soon. Ve'em marvim shimrei yayin v'yayin aval noten lo et shmarav. The next mishnah is a little bit more interesting than this. This is very, what's complicated about this mishnah is it's relating to all sorts of reality, things that we don't exactly understand because we don't, first of all, we're not in the wine processing thing, and the way they did it then is probably different than the way we do it now, even if you are a bucky in that. Didn't we say before you're not allowed to mix the shmarim? So how does it say? Maybe it means you can give him the sediment if you tell him you're giving him the sediment. But that doesn't make sense because Hami Dikatani Seifa, Lo Yim Kerenu Bachanut Elim Kemodio, Velo Letagar Alpha Pishamodio, Michlal Duresha. You can't assume that, what does it mean? You're giving the shmarim, and it's only in a case where you actually told the guy that you're giving him the shmarim, because the whole issue of telling him and not telling him comes up in the next section of the mission, and it's clearly not mentioned here. So if it's not mentioned here, then it obviously isn't relevant here. So therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda has an outside the pshat explanation, and he said it must be like this. Hachi kamar, Ein marvim shmarim shel emesh b'shel yom. If you have two types of wine, one was ready yesterday, one is ready today, you can't put the sediments from one into the other. Okay, either direction. Aval noten lo et shmarav. But what does it mean shmarav? Its own sediment. So if you poured out the wine for it to become clear, right, and let the sediments fall to the bottom, and then you wanted to put the sediment back in, you'd be allowed to do that as long as it was the same sediment that was in there before. But you can't put in sediment from a different batch of wine. Tanya Nami Hachi, and here's a bright to the supports Rabbi Yehuda's reading of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hashofet Yayin L'chaveru, right? Don't confuse Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is an Emora, Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana. Hashofet Yayin L'chaveru, that means he pours the wine to his friend. Hareze lo ya'arev shel emesh b'shel yom, v'lo shel yom b'shel emesh. Ava me'arev shel emesh b'shel emesh v'shel yom b'shel yom. Okay, he can put each sediment into his own wine. Mishanitarev, okay, now we're going to end off with a story. Mishanitarev, mayim b'yeno, harezaleim kerenu b'chanut, elein kemodio, right? You can't sell it in the store unless you told the person that you mixed it. But, what was the continuation? But you can't sell it to the storekeeper because he might trick other people. So, all right, according to this, you can't sell it to a storekeeper. But now we're going to raise a very relevant issue, I think. Rava aichu lechamra mechanuta. Mazge, he got wine from a chanut. He was mosaic. He poured his water into it. Ta'ame, he tasted it. Lo hava basin. He didn't like the way it tasted. Shadre lechanuta, he returns it to the chanut. So now what's the problem? Not only is he selling it, right, but now we're going to say even returning it to the store, because now he's returning to the storekeeper this mazut. Forget about the fact that it doesn't taste so good, okay? But maybe you could say it was, I don't like this wine, but maybe somebody else would like it. But now it's mazut, and he's giving it to the storekeeper. So Amarle Abaye, Abaye says, Rabbi, what are you doing? Bahanan tanam, velo letagar, afal pi shodio. Even if you tell him, you're not allowed to. Amarle, mazga didi me de yedia. Anyone who buys this wine from the storekeeper is going to recognize that I dilute my wine with so much water that it's clearly recognizable that it's diluted. And therefore, anyone, the storekeeper will have no way to trick anybody, because anybody who buys it will know right away that it's diluted. V'chi tema de tape umachle, sorry, umachayle, umazabinle. No, sorry, one second, right. So what he's saying, and if you want to say, I forgot exactly how this works, that if you want to say that,
it's going to add more force than kind to make it.
Right. That if Rava, the way Rava does it, it's very diluted, right? But what if tafe means more? What if the storekeeper might add more wine to it to make it look less diluted? More of the concentrate wine. And then he'll try to sell it and trick someone. So they say, in Cain and Ladavar Sof, you could go on forever. In other words, you have to, at a certain point, allow. First of all, what's interesting here is they're not distinguishing at all between returning an item to a store. It's classic. What if you return? I always wonder this. Right? You buy something from the store, and it's defective, and you return it to the store. What do they do with it? You know, probably they return it to the distributor, you know, but who knows if the distributor isn't going to go throw it into some next batch and try to sell it to someone and hope that people don't return it.
There's a big suspicion of merchants in general, and the whole, there's a big suspicion of merchants.
Yes.
Yeah.
In this case, the big difference between these two cases is in one case, the merchant asks for diluted wine, so you think he's cheating people, but here he didn't ask for it, he just returned diluted wine. Why would you assume that merchants try to cheat people?
Right. So there's an assumption that merchants try to cheat people, which makes sense. The same way I say, well, because if I return an item to a store, that they sold me a defective item. Now, why did they sell me the defective item? If the item was defective, they should have noticed. So maybe no one else had bought it, and they never noticed, and they didn't pay attention. But who knows? You never really know if you're going into a store. Maybe they're going to try to cheat someone else. But the question is that my responsibility? And it, you know, it shouldn't be my responsibility. If he's going to be... There's a certain concern, I think, because the merchant bought merchandise and wants to sell it and make a profit off of it. That's why I think that they're suspect, because what are they going to do with this? It's just lost money for them. So because of that, they become a little bit suspect that... But I think it's extreme to then say that you can't. Okay. It's like lifnei iver lo titei mechshol. You're basically causing them to possibly sell something because it's a big loss for them. That's why if I bought something for 300 shekel and I return it and they have nothing to do with it, that's why I assume. And now, you know, nowadays, what do? They go back to their distributor and the manufacturer. Maybe we'll take responsibility for it. But somebody at some point is going to take a loss on that item. So there's always a concern. The person who takes a loss doesn't want to take a loss. So they figure, well, not everybody returns things. Maybe I'll try to sell it. And obviously not all merchants are not honest, dishonest. But there's a concern that maybe they would be. And maybe in those days, merchants were more dishonest. I mean, look, you have all these halachot about with your weights and measurements. There's always a concern that someone might trick you. It's easy when you're... You know, to put things past people. Okay. Makom shenagul atil mayim b'yayin yatilu. So if you do dilute the wine, then you can. Tana, lemechza l'shlisha l'raviya. Okay, you could do it either, whatever's nahug in your place. If people do it 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. Okay, that's where we get a ravi yayin is the shir. Ravi yayin is 4-1. Amarav, ubein hagitot shanu. Okay, we learn this. This is all, where do you dilute it? Only ben hagitot. If you dilute it later, then it doesn't last as long, and that's not what we're talking about. Then you're not allowed to sell it. Okay, new Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. This is a really interesting Mishnah. Lo yichaleka chemvani klayot ve'egozim letinokot mipnei shu margilan lavo etzlo. Okay, I was thinking about when I was a kid, and they used to give out balloons at the local shoe store,
yes.
Right? That That's what it's saying. You can't do that. According to Allah, okay, we'll see in a minute that we don't all agree. Chachamim mitirim, okay? Chachamim say this is okay. The question is, how much can you do to basically, this is like
marketing.
The Moetz HaTalmidim a few weeks ago, right? Where this girl, the kids were running in the sixth grade, and kids walk into school one day, and this girl's got a helium balloon thing going, and everyone's blowing up balloons for this one girl. She was the only one who brought this, and you know. So according to this Mishnah, she can't do that because everyone's going to vote for her now because of the big balloons. I saw he didn't win. Sorry. The Chachamim mitirim. The rabbis say it's okay because so that girl brought a helium balloon. Guy, you can bring something else. Now, obviously, helium balloon may be out of the range. It's not exactly kleyot ve'egozim. Okay, kleyot are these roasted things that kids would. Snack on. Okay, it's obviously, you know, we're not talking about bringing some bomba and bisley or something. We're talking about bringing something way over the amount. So maybe you could distinguish there. So Chachamim said this is fair competition. You want to bring your, you know, you want to attract your audience this way. You can, your customers this way. You can. Someone else will do it another way. V'lo yipchot et hashar. You can't charge so little that you're going to drop the prices. V'chachamim omrim zachor latov. What do you mean? It's great. Somebody who drops the prices will cause all the other prices to drop. It'll be better. Lo yibor et hagrisim, divrei Abba Shaul. We're going to get into all this case a little more also down the road. If grisim are these beans that they would sell. So you know, here they call them, right, we call grisim barley. They call these beans, the Mefreshim claim that this is beans, pulin grisim, berichayim, halashtayim. Okay, it's they would smash them in half. Now, when you smash them in half, what happens? There's some of the shell. So you can't separate out the shells from the beans and sell them like that. Okay, what am I thinking of? When you go to a store and you buy pomegranates already seeded, right? Or pomelos already with the everything taken out. So according to the Tanakam, Abba Shaul here, you can't do that because you're going to overcharge for the item, okay? The Chachamim mitirim, Chachamim say no problem. Obviously, we'll see this in the Gemara, but obviously it's because when I go and I buy those pomegranates seeded, I know I'm paying a higher price because I'm paying for the work that they did for it. It's not like, oh, well, pomegranates don't cost that much, but I know I'm paying extra because of the work they did. Umodim shelo yivor me'al pi meguha, she'eno ela ki goneva ta'ayim. You can't do it from the very top stuff because if you take what's going to happen, the klipah is going to fall to the bottom. So if you just pick up the top stuff and sell it like that for a higher price, but it's not really sifted, it just gives the impression that it's sifted, that's not allowed because then you're tricking people to think that it's sifted and it's really not. It's like when you go, I was thinking, it's like when you buy
strawberries.
Exactly. And the top level is always beautiful looking and at the bottom is all the mushy stuff. So, or cherry tomatoes sometimes, or things that come like that. Okay. Aim if for kasim lo et adam. You can't make the person look better if you're selling slaves on the slave market. Okay, you can't make them look nicer. We're going to see what this is. Velo et habema, velo et hakelim. Okay, you can't fatten up the animal and make him look better or fancy up a kli to make it look better. Okay, we'll see exactly what this means. My time I do Rabbanan. So let's go back to the first Rabbanan about the competition. You can give out things to attract your clients. To Amalei Anam Afliginam Guze Va'at Palik Shiske. You could say I'm giving out a gozim, and if you want, you could give out shesek. Okay, what do they call them?
They say prunes.
Prunes. Okay, so I saw some other kind of fruit. They said in the Koran. I tried to look because they usually have good pictures. Okay. Anyway, some other. V'lo yipchot et hashar v'chachamim omrim zachor latov. My time I do Rabbanan. Mishum de kamir v'chlatara. What do? They lower the rates, so it's a good thing. Okay, they give an explanation that basically there's people who sell fresh fruits, and then there's people who store things up so that when there's nothing left in the market, they then charge a higher price. Right? The way we have nowadays when you buy fruits out of season, so you buy a higher price for them. So if this guy starts selling them for so cheap, what's going to happen? The people are going to worry who store them up for longer and try to charge very high rates. They're going to be concerned that everyone's going to buy the cheap price. Right? Okay, let's take strawberries, right? Strawberries, when they're in season, you buy a lot and you can freeze them and then use them for the long term. Then you don't, like, let's say, I mean, obviously, if you want fresh strawberries, you want fresh strawberries. But you could, in theory, freeze them, keep them for later and use them in shakes and whatever else you might want to use them for. And then you won't need to buy them when they're very expensive. So those people might start selling their stuff for a lower price because they're worried that they're going to end up with all these strawberries that no one's going to ever want to buy. The lo yivor tag received to Rabbi Shav, Chachamim Mitirim, Man Chachamim Rabbi Acha, Detana Rabbi Acha, The Tanya, it says in the Brayta, Rabbi Acha matir b'davar hanir e. Okay, Rabbi Acha allows you to charge a higher price if it's noticeable. So if you sell these beans that are separated already, that are sifted, so it's clear that you obviously did work, and therefore people are paying for that. Eim farkasim lota adam balota kilim tanu rabanan. Eim sharbatim mitabema. Here's another one of things you can't do. You can't fatten up, make the animal look fat. We'll see what this is. Ve'ein nofchim b'kirbaim. Okay, you can't. You know, one is to make him look a little fatter than he is. The other one is to actually, like, play with his kirbaim to make him actually get a little fatter, but it's only in looks, not in actuality. Ve'ein shorin et habasar b'mayim. And you can't leave it in water because also it's going to expand. Thank you. My aim is sharbatin. Hachatir gemu maya dechizra ze'ere. Okay, this is some water. How do they translate it? I don't remember all the translations of all this. They would put it in some sort of, like a soapy kind of water, and it would basically make it get fatter, make it expand.
I say broth of bran. But
oh, that's what it was, right, a bran broth. Okay, right. You put in a bran broth, and, right, it was confusing. Mesubin, I forgot that that's bran, right. I was thinking of something else. Okay, you put in bran water, that makes more sense, and it would make it fatter. Amarav Kahana, Mizkafta. He says they would, this is, I think, with the brush, right? They would brush the hair of the animal, and it would make his hair
stick up,
and it would make the animal also look bigger. Okay. Amarav Kahan, right? Obviously, the hair all over his body. Shmuel Shara Lemirma Tumi Lasarbala. Okay. I need help. I don't remember all
the fringes on the coat.
Right, they would put to put fringes on a coat?
Silk fringes.
To put silk fringes on a coat to make it look better. Okay, this is all these things that they were now allowed to do to make an item look better. Rav Yehuda Shara LeKaskuse Karme. This is to wash it, I think.
Starch.
Right,
to
what?
Starch.
To starch it, okay, to starch clothing. Rav Shara LeMeidak Tzrade.
Beat canvas.
To beat the canvas. Remember we talked about in the cleaning process, they would hit it. Okay, Rava Shara Letzelume Geire. You're allowed to color arrows on it. Okay, this seems to be on. I think we're up to Kalim at this point. Mm-hmm. You can like color things on it. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Shara Letzelume Dikula. You can put pictures on it to make the kli look prettier. So now they say V'hanan Tana Name Mefarkasim Lo Ata Adam V'Lo Ata Beima V'Lo Ata Kalim. So how are you allowed to do these things? Lo Kasha Habachadete Habatike. So they say if it's an old kli and you want to cover up the fact that it's old, that's a problem. If it's a new kli, and you just want to make it look pretty, then that's obviously allowed. But you can't sell a painted kli. That doesn't make any sense. So now we're going to have a good story. Pirkus da'adam mahi. What does it mean to make a person look better? Ki ha'ahu avda, da'ahu avda saba. There was an old Eved Knani. Although some people say it was actually an Eved Ivri who was kind of dressing up as an Eved Knani, but let's just stick with these in Eved Knani. Da'azot tzave l'reshe u'ledikne. He colored his hair and his zakan so that he didn't look old. So instead of looking white, it was dark, and then people thought he was a younger guy. Atal, right, this is basically hair coloring, okay? Atal kameja rava amale zivnan, he says, buy me. Amale yu aniyim b'nei betecha. He says, right, the people, you should take care of your own, meaning I don't want to buy an Eved Knani slave. I'd rather buy a Jewish slave and let the people in my house, you know, the people in my community, I want to take care of them, basically. You should take care of the aniyim of your own people. Ata l'kamed Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, Zavne. So then he goes to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, and Rav Papa Bar Shmuel buys him. Yom echad amar lei eshki amaya. He says, go draw me water from the well. Azal chivre l'reshe u'ledikne. He goes and he takes off the color on his hair and his sakan. Amalei chazei da'ana kashish me'abucha. Don't you see I'm older than your father? You can't. And here you see that there's an issue of respect for your elders, even if they're not Jewish. And he says, you can't make me do that. Kare anashe, Rav Papa called about himself, tzadik mitzara nechlatz v'yavo acher tachtav. Okay, first of all, there's a misquote of the pasuk. It actually says, v'yavo rasha tachtav. Okay, what does that mean? It means the tzaddik is saved from something bad, and the rasha is going to get the bad in his stead. So what he's saying is, Rava was a tzaddik. He did the halacha, which is, yu'aniyim b'nei b'techa. And I was not as, you know, whether he's a rasha or whether he changes it, you know, I'm not exactly a rasha, but I should have been smarter, and I got the problem instead of him. Okay? Hadron halacha zahah. Okay, now we're starting Ezehu Neshech. Okay, parak all about Rebbit, different dinim relating to Rebbit. I'm going to see, you'll see in tomorrow's daf that there's a lot of, it appears many times in the Torah. Okay, there's about five, I remember there's five mitzvot lo tase. Okay, there's lo tia lo kinoshe. Oh, we do, right? I knew that was the case. We do use that pasuk about Rebbit. Et kaspecha lo titen lo b'neshech. That's number two. The second part of that pasuk is ubemarbit lo titen ochlecha. Okay, now just before we even move on, neshech marbit. What's the? Okay, we're going to get into this now. Neshech is like noshech, to bite. It means you're biting from the loved. You're basically taking extra money from him. Marbit is that the neshech is the loved's loss. The marbit is milashon riboy, your gain, the malve's gain. So it's both the loss of the loveh and the gain of the malveh. We're going to discuss today, could there be a case where there is neshech, there isn't marbit? There is marbit, there is, okay? Or there's one or the other, and we're going to show in the coins of the Gemara, there is no case of both, because either which way, you'll see. We'll get to that. The fourth pasuk is al tikach mi'ito neshech v'tarbit. That's, sorry, it's not the fourth pasuk, it's the fourth lo taseh, because there's two were in the same pasuk. And lo tishimun alav neshech. Okay, that's another one. So it's mentioned many times, and therefore it's treated very seriously. It's a problem for both the malve and the love. Okay, we're going to get into all the details as they unfold. Okay, if you want, there's a very good intro in the Schottenstein. If you have time over Shabbat to read it, it'll probably be helpful. It'll give you background. Okay. Ezehu neshech ve'ezehu tarbit. Now, you would have thought this would say what's neshech and what's tarbit, but it's not really. What the Mishnah is saying here is, what is neshech that's mida oraita? And tarbit they're using, even though tarbit is d'oraita, they're using it here to say, and what's ribit mida rabbanan? Okay, so basically, in other words, this Mishnah should really say, ezu d'oraita, ezu d'rabbanan. They use the terminology neshech for tarbit. The Gemara is going to immediately question a little bit when we get there, but that's how it starts off. Ezu neshech, so what is ribit mida oraita? Hamaves sela b'chamisha dinarim. Remember, sela is 4 dinarim. So if you lend a sela and you get back 5 dinarim, or satayim chitim b'shalosh, or you lend out two se'im for 3 se'im. Okay, you say, here's 3 se'im of chita, give me back 3. Here's 2, give me back 3. Asur mipnei shehu noshech. So either you lend out money or you lend out an item, and you get back more than the original. Okay, it's asur. Ezehu tarbit, so what's going to be d'rabbanan? Har marbe b'perot, ketzad. You pay money basically up front. You say, I'm gonna buy chitim for a dinar zahav, okay, which you have to remember is 25 silver dinarim. Okay? 1 dinar zahav is 25 silver dinarim, because in a minute they're gonna compare 25 to 30, and they're not gonna be talking about dinar zahav. It's not 1 dinar zahav to 30 dinarim. Okay, it's 1 dinar zahav, which is 25 silver dinarim. You're going to say, I'm going to buy chitim for a dinar zahav, a kor, 1 kor for a dinar zahav. V'chein ha'shar, and that was the price. But then amdu chitim b'shloshim dinarim. But then all of a sudden, before you got them, the chitim went up in price to 30. Amar lo, tein li chitai. So the guy says to him, give me my chitim. Shani rotzel mochrano likach mehem yayin. Okay, he wants to get his chitim now because he wants to buy wine with them, because now the chitim are worth more. So now he says that he can get his core chitim that he paid for, but instead of it being worth 25, it's now going to be worth 30. Now that's not ribit yet, but I want them now so I can get wine. Amar lo hare chitecha asuyot alai b'shloshim, v'hare lecha etzli b'hem yayin. He says, you know what? Your chitim, instead of giving you chitim, you want to buy wine with them, I'll just give you the wine directly, which would be okay also. I'll give you 30 dinarim's worth of wine, because that's how much your chitim are worth now. V'yayin ein lo. But the guy doesn't have wine right now. So what happens then? If the wine now goes up in price over time before he actually gives him the wine, then it's going to be ribit. What is ribit? Ribit is where you're gaining money for time passing, right? Hamtana. You're basically saying, you can have my money, right? And I'll wait. And because I'm waiting, and I don't have my money at this given moment, I'm gaining from it. So if this guy, if he bought chitim and the chitim go up in price, so he wins, and that's not ribit. But if he buys the chitim go up in price, the guy flips it onto something else, but he doesn't have that other item, and that other item might go up in price, that's going to be considered ribit. Okay, that's going to be problematic. Okay, so now the Gemara starts off and says, Midashavet l'ribit d'oraita v'kam b'farish d'rabanan, Michlal, since the Mishnah clearly, everyone understands that what they're saying is what's ribit d'oraita and what's ribit d'rabanan, but they're using the terminology, ezu neshach v'ezu tarbit. So what does that imply? Michlal d'oraita d'neshach v'tarbit chada miltahi. Neshach and Tarbit midoraita must be exactly the same, because they're not distinguishing between what's Neshach and what's Tarbit from the Torah. So it must be when they say what's Neshach and they say, well, that's Ribit, that's charging, it must mean that Neshach and Marbit in the Torah, from on a Torah level, Neshach and Tarbit are the same thing. So then they say, v'hakraik TV, but what do you mean? Doesn't it say Neshach kesef ribit ochel? Okay, what's that pasuk? That's the pasuk, et kaspecha lo titen lo b'neshach. What do you see here? Kesef neshech, and marbit goes with ochel. Okay, so they're saying it must be that there are two different things because they appear. Now, you don't have to necessarily say that, right? Because you could say, literary. It's right, it's a literary device. But what they're saying now is there seem to be two lotases. It must be two lotases that each reflects something different. So they say, and that's what they're going to question right now. So instead of answering the question, right, first they're saying, how could it be? It sounds like they're two separate things. So now they're going to say, with a counter question, do you think there could possibly be some case where there's only neshach and not tarbit, or only tarbit and not neshach? Neshach below tarbit, and they're going to basically say there isn't. Because what's neshach below tarbit? What would that possibly be? If you say, I'm going to lend you 100, and you pay me back 120. Okay? Okay, so far that's classic ribit. Meikara kaima mea bedanka, ulevasof kaima mea esrim bedanka. Except that now the rates, right, the money changes value. And it turns out now that they're each worth the same amount. They're each worth a danka. You see that? Okay? They're each worth one, a danka is a sixth of a sel, I think. I forget. But it's, they each are worth the same thing. So, neshech ika, deka nachit le, deka shaka mine midi de lo yahiv. This will be neshech, because what happens? In the end, the guy's still going to have to give you 120. Even if 120 is worth 100, the lovis still has to pay you 120. Vitarbit leka de le ravcha. But there's no tarbit because the malva doesn't get anything more because he gave him the value of a danka, osfe, a danka kashakel. And in the end, he's getting back the value, danka kashakel, the same value. So now, that right, that would be the suggestion. Obviously, it's a ridiculous suggestion because sof, either which way you see it, iba tarmi ikara azal, if you're going to judge the whole thing based on what the price was originally, it's hare neshech v'hare tarbit. Right, then the guy's both, right? He's going to have to pay 120 of the new currency, which is going to be more than it was before. And it's going to be, in other words, 120 of the value of the old is what I mean. Based on, right, he'll have to pay more than a danka, basically. And then it'll be both neshach and tarbit. And ibasar batof azalt, and if he's going by, right, he just has to pay 120 according to the price that it is now, which means it's exactly what he borrowed. He borrowed 100, which was a danka. He borrowed a danka's value. He's returning a danka's value. And the malva is getting a danka's value. So there's really nothing, right? Lo neshach ika v'lo tarbit ika. V'tu, so therefore there can't be a case. What about tarbit below neshach? So what would that be the case of? Hechidami. Ida ozif mea b'mea. Okay, what if he lends him 100 for 100? But what happens now? Meikara kaime mea b'danke. Ulevasof. Mea b'chumsha, okay? Meaning that now I can write it just simpler so we don't have to get into the whole currency difference, but let's say 80 now is worth a danka, right? In other words, there's less pruta to a danka. Mea b'chumsha, ibatar me'ikara azalt, if we go by the beginning price, lo neshech ika v'lo tarbit ika. Ve'i batar sof azalt harei neshech v'harei tarbit. In other words, still in the same, right? You're going to have the same thing. If you, either it's going to be a problem for both, or it's not going to be a problem for either. So, El Amarava, What do they say now? There's really no difference. It is sifruti in a sense, but it's more than just literary. It's not just that it repeated the same thing in a literary manner, but it repeated it, meaning there's two times where it says don't do this, and therefore there's always, if there's a loss for the lova, there's always going to be a gain for the malva. And if there's no loss for the malva, there's never for the lova, then there's not going to be any gain for the malva. However, what is it coming to teach you? That there's two lavim involved. If you do this chet, you have two lotases that you are over. Okay, we'll stop here for today. I just wanted to give you an intro to the first drasha. They're going to talk about this neshef kesef and ribit ochel. Does neshef only relate to kesef and ribit only ochel? And how do we learn that it's also the flipped? And they're going to darshan. It's going to be a long drasha. You know, they're going to have a bunch of drashot to try to learn that it's all across the board. Both relate to kesef and ochel, etc. There'll be some drashot tomorrow.